This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative.
Hi, friends. This is Tim McKenna, and this is another episode of Signal 337. I'm coming at you here in the earlier part of December. It's been a little nuts in the last several weeks since beginning of November for a couple of reasons. One, I've been finishing up the semester at York College and have been working with my students to get their projects done, and I'm incredibly happy and very fortunate to have two groups of students that have done some amazing work this semester. Additionally, nationally in the United States, we've been going through a dumpster fire of daily news that doesn't need any more explanation. If you've been under a rock the last 6 weeks, I actually envy you because you probably haven't seen the shit show that's been going on here. And I'm not going to go into more about that because I'm pretty sure we're all kind of tired about hearing it. So, critique. Critique is something that I have been very enthusiastic about because I had a really good experience in college with critique. I've had really shitty experiences with critique before in college and also in the professional world. And getting to be able to work on how to implement critique at scale with my colleagues, I'm incredibly excited to do and excited to be a part of. And I think that when you first hear the word critique, you're like, oh, well, you know, critical, that doesn't sound nice. There's a negative connotation with critique. And I think that if you ask anyone who went through design school, that there's that trope of, oh yeah, my professor tore my work down doing critique and it wasn't very good. And, you know, it just made me feel very demoralized and flat. And I've actually had some of my own students say that about my colleagues who are teaching design courses. I don't subscribe to that school of thought about critique that you need to tear someone down to build them back up. I mean, this isn't boot camp. I'm not a drill sergeant. I'm not meant to make your life a living hell and then reshape you into this. I think that you attract more flies with honey than you do with shit. So critique should not be a shit type of experience. It should be something that is helpful. So let's talk about critique and how you can do it. How you can do it well, and some resources that I highly recommend that could very much help you in your critiques. If you want to learn how to implement critiques at your organization, if you want to run better critiques, or you know, just generally give better feedback to folks. So first and foremost, what I want to say is that critique is not owned by design. It's really not. I think you hear a lot about designers critiquing work, and you've heard that throughout, you know, that's a trope and that's something that people always associate with designers. And it doesn't have to be. It really doesn't have to be. Really, critique or critical thinking or critical feedback, whatever you want to call it, really, is for any professional. If you are getting work done and you want to make sure that it's hitting the mark, or if there's areas to improve it, and you share it with a colleague to get their feedback and their suggestions, that basically is critique. It doesn't have to be any more ritualized than that. However, the type of feedback you get is incredibly important. How you give that feedback is incredibly important, because the type of feedback, how it's delivered, how it's understood, and how it is couched makes all the difference. If you get shitty feedback, guess what? You're not going to want to talk to that person anymore. You're going to feel very vulnerable. You're going to feel maybe attacked. And you're going to be like, fuck it. I don't want to share my work in the future. You wouldn't be wrong in feeling that way. So you have to be able to enter into critique. You have to be able to give good feedback, basically. That's really all it really boils down to. So, what is good feedback? Well, good feedback is objective. It's not based on the personal tastes and bias and preferences of the viewer. That really needs to be the core, you know, mantra for this, is that feedback is objective. And how do you make feedback objective? Well, it goes back to understanding what the opportunity or the problem that you're trying to solve. So, let's talk about a scenario. We're going to take my drum set, for instance. I have a lovely drum set that's actually on the other side of my office over here. So whenever I have a very long day where I just need to blow off some steam, I will go over to my drum set and I'll blast out some Slayer blast beats just because it's incredibly cathartic for me. So, say I am creating new drumsticks. You know, I am creating new sticks that are going to make it easier for drummers to hold on to and have better stick control when they're playing their drums. So I go about creating different prototypes and I try different designs, length, type of wood, how thick it should be, different types of milling on the wood. Should I make it a wood tip? Should I make it a plastic tip? Should I make it a felt tip? I create a number of different types of sticks. And this is a regular, just five-piece drum set, and nothing crazy, doesn't matter what style of music. I just want a good, general, all-purpose drumstick that I can use for all different types of playing. So that is the opportunity, and that is what I would need some feedback on. So I would ask my friends, hey, I'm creating this drumstick, this new drumstick that's going to make it easier for drummers to play whatever type of music without having to jump into different, you know, sticks for different styles. So I'm looking for your feedback on how I can make my sticks better or how well are they performing right now. So what I did right there is I gave context. I went to my friends and I gave them context. Here's the problem that I'm working on, or here's the opportunity. I would like your feedback on how well these sticks perform. And I give them the sticks. They would sit down at the drum set and they would try different fills. They'd play a few different, you know, a few different patterns and whatnot. And, you know, they'd play the different cymbals, the different areas to see how well it responds. They would flick the stick a bit to see, you know, its balance and everything. And they would hold on to the stick and see how well they can grip it and everything. So they would do everything to evaluate my problem. And then they would give me feedback. And good feedback would be, well, if you're trying to make a stick that's going to be usable for any drummer to play any style of music, I think the first thing that you would need to do is make it easier for them to grip the stick so they don't drop it. That way they can play any type of style. Now, let's break down that feedback. They couched it in, well, if you want to make a stick that anyone can use for any style of music, they are reiterating the opportunity. They're reiterating the problem. So they're reiterating as they understand it. They're reiterating my goal of what I'm trying to do. Then they gave me feedback on an area to improve. So it would be, you need to make it easier for people to grip. And that was their feedback on how they were able to use the sticks. Now, one could say that that is subjective. You know, if I asked 10 of my friends, well, 9 of them would say, hey, you need to make it a little bit more, you know, easier to grip. That goes away from subjective to objective because you have more than one person sharing that. It's more of a larger sample size. So if a good majority of my friends were saying, hey, you need to make the sticks easier to grip, that way any drummer can then be able to play any style without having to switch sticks. Then they recouched everything back to the problem or the opportunity. So that way I had something actionable that I can do and experiment on and iterate on going forward. So really it's three parts to giving good, objective, actionable feedback. State the problem or opportunity as you understand it. give your feedback based on your experience of how you used or interacted with whatever the device is or design or whatever, and then tie it back to how it would align with solving your problem or your opportunity. So it's three parts. That is good, solid, objective critique. Because what that didn't do was go into subjective, tear the person down, and you just be completely biased in its approach. So a really bad critique example would be like, well, I don't know why you're making these sticks because there's so many others out there. Plus, your sticks don't really conform to like how I like to play, and I don't think you have enough resin on these sticks that's covering everything. And personally, I think more drummers just like wood tips because that's what, you know, Lars Ulrich plays with. You know, something like that is just dripping with disdain. Kind of tears the person down of like why they're even trying this work. And just couches everything in the reviewer's own subjective thought process for everything. If you heard that type of a feedback and you were making drumsticks, you would either be A, well, fuck that guy. I don't want to use that guy's, you know, stuff, and I don't want to use his, you know, his feedback because, you know, he's talking about. You get defensive. Or B, you internalize it and be like, oh man, I really shouldn't be making drumsticks. What am I doing with my life? I should just go home and hide under a rock. Either of these outcomes are poor and they do not help solve the problem. And that's what critique is meant to do, is help to solve a problem, to help provide fresh perspective and validate what decisions that were made are good ones, that are helpful, that align to the solution to help solve the problem or answer the opportunity. So not every critique has to be about what needs to be fixed, what needs to be rethought. Sometimes critique is just validating what decisions were made to easier meet the problem and opportunity. So that's why it's important to have a critique that is meant to be actionable, that is progressive, that is something that you can iterate on. In the case of my friends telling me I need to make the sticks grip easier so that they can use it between all different types of styles, that gives me an idea of what I need to do next. Maybe I try ribbing the stick to have more contour so they can hold it. Maybe I can try different resins to hold the stick better. Maybe I can rubber coat it. There's a lot of other ideas, and depending on the style or how much other ideas that the reviewers can provide, they may even suggest this. Hey, if you need to improve the grip, maybe you could try rubber coating it, or maybe you could try contouring the stick. And that gives action. It's not vague, it's not nebulous. It gives the person who's designing the next step. So I like to use this example of the drumstick, you know, because it's something that people can see and think about. Now let's take it to digital design. Maybe you're creating an app that will send suggested items for purchase. Maybe it's a book app. And it will send you each day when you log in, based on your shopping preferences and your search preferences, it'll send you 3 to 4 books. Suggestions that you could then purchase based off of your history. You want to make it easy for people to buy said book. So you design some screens and say you end up making the button to purchase the book maybe the equal size as the skip, I don't want to look at this book, something like that. If the goal is to make sure that people are buying the suggested book and make it easier for them to do so, good critique then would look at that and say, well, if you want to make it easier for people to buy the suggested books, you might want to take a look at increasing the size of the purchase button or the buy button. So that way it clearly helps the user understand like, oh, here's where I go to buy this book. Have you tested that? That is some really good critique, again, digital design for a product that is going to be used by users. So good critique invites ideas, invites collaboration, invites communication. And the person receiving the critique is now getting new perspectives, fresh ideas. It might spark one of those aha moments of creativity and inspiration for them to try different things out. Maybe they even thought that what they've created isn't really aligning to the solution or solving the problem, but they need to hear somebody else validate that idea as well. They need to hear it from somebody else that, like, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I think this could be better if you could do it this way. Something like that is incredibly helpful. And when critique is done right, it basically helps to inspire new work, new ideas, new thinking. It helps push boundaries. And it's reciprocal. Someone who's on the receiving end of good critique knows what they need to do next and is looking forward to also sharing their good critique with other folks. And this is where culture then comes in. When you have a good experience, you want to reciprocate that experience with those people that provided that good initial experience. And then that helps to build better collaboration. And this is something that we talk about a lot in design, is collaborating and breaking down silos. It's important that you have a good narrative. You give the context of your work. You have a story to tell, so that way you can provide enough information for the person reviewing your work, enough context, so that way they can provide good critique. So it's two ways here. You need to have storytelling and you need to have a narrative to set the stage, set the context. So that way, when the critique is provided, there is an understanding, a shared framework, a shared reference. So that way they can provide valuable critique back. And then the expectation should be then, when a person has designed something, has gotten really good critique, you should also give really good critique back. And that way, that continues the cycle on an up note, on a positive spin, so that the expectation is, yeah, we do critique here. It's really helpful, and it allows us to do really good work. And when you take out the subjective nature, when you take out the personal nature to it, and you really focus on the work being the thing that you're trying to improve, not the person, the person is going to improve regardless because you're helping them see things differently. I know for myself and critiques that I've been a part of that when I've gotten really good feedback, I've taken that feedback and thought about it in other designs and other work that I've done, and it's made me better. So that's why critique is super important, super valuable. And frankly, I've been talking about design a lot about this, but you know, product managers, project managers, business analysts, anyone who is helping to make the work better is part of critique and can give valuable feedback, as long as the person presenting the work gives context, gives the objectives and the opportunity, and frames it in a way so that people can give good feedback back. So I am a big fan of reading, and I have a couple books that I have used a lot in my career. I actually made one of them mandatory reading at my last job. And what's great about these books is that, you know, it helps to frame critique understandably for anyone. Now, the two books I'm talking about is Discussing Design and Articulating Design Decisions, both from O'Reilly Media. I've had these books for a number of years, and Discussing Design, I made that mandatory reading for my team in my previous gigs. The books talk about improving communication and how to actually do critique well, what it is, what it isn't, how to couch your work objectively, and how to run sessions, and how to talk and communicate about your work. Presenting and reviewing. Those are two books I highly recommend, and I've had both of these books now for a number of years, and I still find myself drawn to them all the time when I'm looking about how to not only remember how to provide critique easily digestible and positive for folks, I cite these books a lot for anyone who wants to learn how to run sessions. So it's important that as designers and anyone who's creating anything that people can use, that you need to take critical thinking into how you're thinking about your product, how you're thinking about your service, how you're thinking about the end user. And you want to be able to get as many eyes, perspectives, experiences, and objective feedback on the work that you're doing to make it successful. That's why critique has such a power that is being sorely underutilized, I've seen, in a lot of organizations that don't do it well. There are some organizations that do critique incredibly well, and it's just part of their DNA. It's just part of how they operate. And for those who come into those organizations that have had a bad experience, it's a little jarring at first, being open and being vulnerable for a lot of those folks because they feel like they're going to be attacked. But when it's done well, it's something that is energizing and helps designers and other professionals be able to do better work. For example, I know that I have seen some, my colleagues in the project management space, how to build their project plans, and they talk to their portfolio managers and, the feedback about how to do these things, that's a form of critique. The same thing with, business analysts and working with, their partners in engineering to make sure they understand what the problem they're trying to solve so that they can give good feedback on how to better meet the objectives. That's a form of critique. And, there's the time-honored trope of designers putting up work and walking through it and giving feedback on how to improve that flow or that product or that expectation or interaction. So critique is everywhere. And when you do it well, it engenders and invites positive outcomes and reciprocal action. So with all of that being said, I implore you to think more critically, to try to help people in a way that is going to help build them up, give them sort of actionable feedback that they can iterate on. And I will bet you anything that when you start implementing that form of feedback, you're going to see much more engaged, colleagues. You're going to see an increase of the productivity, for one thing, because people feel energized to do really good work and they feel like they've gotten direction and they're going to want to try different things out. And that's an exciting place to be at versus a place where designers don't talk to each other, don't share your work. The product looks like crap because nobody wants to let go of their ideas because they do not want to feel personally attacked. So with all that being said, I highly recommend both of those books, Discussing Design and Articulating Design Decisions. And I would implore you to start utilizing that breakdown of how to give critique today. And with all that being said, I want to thank you for always listening to me talk about design, business, and everything in between. I am incredibly thankful for all my listeners. And very soon, we will be having more videos that will be on YouTube. And with all that being said, thank you so very much.